Hello and welcome. I'm your host, Simone Riscala, and you are listening to the Endow Podcast, a conversation not just about the feminine genius in general, but about cultivating your particular feminine genius through the Catholic intellectual tradition and intentional community. Well, hello, Endow Women. Simone here, and I'm so, so grateful and happy to talk to Gia Chacon today from March for the Martyrs. She is the president and founder of this wonderful organization I just found out about. So I was so excited to talk to her today and to get her background, her ideas, and all the proposals she's going to have for all of us today about the subject of Christian persecution. If you notice, I've been paying a lot of attention to this. Well, for personal reasons, because I am a Middle Eastern Christian and my parents were refugees, but also because it's a very hot button issue right now. And we're experiencing a lot of things as Christians here in the West as well. So Gia, welcome.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for having me. And I'm so excited to be with all the Endow ladies talking about this issue of Christian persecution and how we can respond.
I just want to say personally, Gia, that anytime I learn of somebody who takes this issue seriously, and you've taken it very seriously because now you run an entire organization, a nonprofit dedicated to this mission. But as a first generation American Middle Eastern Christian, it means so much personally speaking that somebody really cares about us and cares about the Christians in the Middle East, because it's an issue that I think has largely been ignored, not just by Western media, but also in our church. And would you agree with that?
I would absolutely agree with that. And one of the, you know, right off the bat, one of the primary focuses of the March for the Martyrs is to raise awareness about the crisis of Christian persecution, advocate for religious freedom, and join the hearts of the Christians of the West to the persecuted members of the body of Christ around the world. So like you said it, we want to show the suffering Christians that their brothers and sisters in the West have not forgotten them, that Christian persecution will not be ignored, their suffering will not go untalked about, unprayed for, and that we are unifying around this issue to pray for the persecuted around the world.
Oh, that means, it really, really means so, so much. Tell me a little bit about your background, Gia.
So in 2017, I began volunteer humanitarian work with my grandmother's organization. And the first volunteer trip that I went on was to Egypt. And it was actually in Egypt, experiencing the faith of the persecuted church in Egypt and realizing that it wasn't just, you know, the older generation that was willing to risk their lives for the sake of the gospel and risk everything for Christ, but also young people, people my age and even younger, that were putting their lives on the line. There was nothing that they wouldn't give for the sake of Christ. There was nothing that they wouldn't give that it was too much to ask for their faith. And so experiencing that faith of the persecuted really resonated so deeply with me. And it actually caused me to have this shift in my life where I dedicated my whole life to the service of Christ. So started in 2017 and then continuing my travels with this organization throughout the Middle East, having the honor to work with the Syrian and Iraqi refugees and gaining deeper understanding to what Christians, not just in the Middle East, but around the world were suffering for their faith in Christ, really resonated deeply with me. And I felt the Lord calling me to do something greater. So having these experiences, coming back to the West, realizing that this issue of Christian persecution is so untalked about, not only in the media, like you said, but also within our communities of faith. So the Lord put it on my heart to start an organization. And from that, For the Martyrs was born. And through For the Martyrs, the March for the Martyrs was born.
Okay, so For the Martyrs and March for the Martyrs. Okay, that's, of course, I'm confusing the event with the organization. Okay, well, I'm going to link up all this stuff so everybody can access it, but I apologize for that. But Gia, so what made you want to, first of all, I'm very happy you went to Egypt because that's where my family's from. But what made you want to go there in the first place?
Well, I had been exposed to traveling at a young age. And I actually first went to Egypt when I think I was 11 or 12 years old. And I loved it. So really fond memories. But of course, a different experience when you're younger.
Yeah.
And as I mentioned, my grandmother has a nonprofit organization that brings international crisis relief and humanitarian aid. And she had a trip coming up to Egypt. And It's so providential because at the time I was just transitioning out of the job that I was working and I had free time in between my next job. So I asked my grandmother, can I join you on your trip to Egypt? I had no idea.
My mother. I mean, how? We should have her on the podcast. I mean, amazing.
She's really amazing. I'm so blessed to have her, not only as my grandmother, but as my mentor.
Yeah.
And luckily when I asked if I could join her on her trip, she was, you know, it was last minute, but more than open to having me participate. And so again, it was really providential the way that it happened. And I had no idea what God had in store. I had no idea that my life was going to be changed forever in Egypt and that I was going to come back from that trip a completely different person, totally in dedication to the Lord.
So you went, just, this is a nice thing to do. I'm going to help out, go hang out with grandma. I've got this time. And then you go and you receive this calling to do this work. Wow.
Yes, exactly.
Where did that happen? I always want to know the detail. Where were you in Egypt when this call came?
So it's in this retreat center called Beit El Wadi. So it's way out in the desert. It's about 3 hours away from Cairo. And we had people that attended the event where I actually felt a calling on my life to give my life in service to the Lord. It was an interfaith or interdenominational conference. So we had Coptic Christians, Coptic Catholics, evangelicals. So just different people from different denominations. But it's interesting because wherever there's persecution, we don't see the denominational issues that we sometimes see here in the West.
Yeah.
So the body of Christ is much more unified in those places. So
yeah. Theology battles don't mean much in the Middle East. Everybody, Christian, you're Christian, and you're united because of that. So I understand
exactly
very well. And most Egyptian Christians are actually Coptic Orthodox. And like you said, I mean, they are incredible. They're super strong, super dedicated, and willing to die as martyrs, and are dying as martyrs.
Absolutely.
So it's so beautiful. Okay, so then you came back and you started this organization. So tell us about the organization, and then tell us about the events and how we can, how Endow Women can get involved. Because my hope is that, again, there's always these proposals. I mean, first of all, Endow Women are absolutely incredible, doing incredible things and being salt and light to the earth. But so many of them really care about matters of religious freedom and really being a presence to our persecuted brothers and sisters, wherever that may happen. And of course, it's happening more than just in the Middle East. It's happening in many, many other countries. So so tell us about your organization, how we can get involved, and specifically the kind of the needs that you have and your organization has that perhaps Endow Women can help with.
Yes. So our mission statement for the martyrs seeks to raise awareness about the crisis of Christian persecution, advocate for religious freedom, and provide aid to suffering Christians across the globe. And we do that in a number of ways. Number one, we raise awareness through social media. It's actually been amazing the response that we've had on social media through our For the Martyrs and our March for the Martyrs accounts. Just putting the statistics and bringing light, shedding light to the crisis of Christian persecution, what Christians are suffering for their faith. Not only have people messaged us and said, we've never heard these things before. I can't believe this is happening. Why is nobody talking about this? But there is that desire to make a difference. So we always say, never underestimate the power of your voice. The persecuted need the platform and the voice of the Christians of the West just as much as we need the faith and courage and influence of the persecuted in the West. So, never underestimate the platform or the power of your voice again. But also, as we've been talking about, the March for the Martyrs on September 5th in Long Beach, California, where we are going to be coming together, raising our voice for the persecuted Christians, advocating on their behalf, and praying for the persecuted members of the body of Christ.
Beautiful. And this is, I mean, this is a nonpartisan issue. This is a Christian issue, because sometimes it can seem like very politicized but this is not a political issue. I mean, it is a political issue, but it's not something that is supposed to be politically divisive. This is something that should be the concern of, I think, not just Christians, although certainly Christians, but anybody who believes in human rights and religious freedom.
Absolutely. Well, it's interesting to know, and I'd like to state this fact, that Christians are the most persecuted religious group. And when you hear this, you might think, how is that possible? We're the biggest religious group, right? Well, it's true. And this is not confirmed just by Christian organizations who do research into Christian persecution. This is confirmed by secular organizations that do research into religious oppression. So just to paint a picture, 1/3 of the world faces religious oppression, and an overwhelming 80% of the 1/3 that face oppression are Christian. So by an overwhelming majority, Christians are suffering for their faith more than any other religious group. So you hit it right on the nose. This is not just, you know, this is not a political issue, although politics may be involved in advocating and maybe in a lot of countries the driving factor as to who's persecuting the Christians. But no. This is not just a body of Christ issue, although the body of Christ has an obligation to respond. This is a human rights crisis. So how can we bring this issue to the forefront, being that it's so untalked about? And one of the first ways is just raising our voice at the March for the Martyrs.
That's great. So what can someone, so if you're in Southern California, it's really easy to get there. And yes. So for Endow women who are in Southern California and who are going to go, and I hope many of you do, and I hope to see you there. Tell me what you can expect if you show up on September 5th.
So you can expect to, number one, rally with us in the beginning, where we're just going to be sharing about Christian persecution. And I want to share a little bit about what it means to be persecuted for your faith in Christ. So around the world, Christians are facing imprisonment, loss of their businesses, homes. They're facing kidnapping, torture, and even death solely because of their faith. So we'll be talking, kind of diving a little bit deeper into who is suffering for their faith, in what countries are Christians suffering, and then how we can respond. So rally with us. And this is a positive, peace-filled message of hope that, again, Christian persecution will not be ignored. Suffering Christians are not forgotten, and Jesus Christ still has the victory. So rally with us in the beginning, and we'll be starting on Olive Street in downtown Long Beach, processing through downtown Long Beach and ending with a conference and night of prayer for the persecuted, where we will be turning our hearts toward the persecuted members of the body of Christ, imploring heaven on their behalf, but also showing a public demonstration that this issue needs to be cared about, and that, you know, we're not going to let this issue go untalked about any longer.
I just love that. And I can't wait to tell my Middle Eastern Christian friends about this, because it really, especially for as you said, the 80% of Christians who are being persecuted, or 80% of those who are, you know, having their religious freedom and human rights violation, you know, it's 80% are Christians. And again, this goes beyond the Middle East. This is a global issue, but it means so much for Christians in these countries to see the West, particularly the West, particularly I think the United States, to see that something's being done, no matter how small, and that we care. I think it really, really means a lot, because as you know, because you visited those countries, and as I know, the dominating feeling is that they are forgotten. And
absolutely.
And so the presence really matters. And definitely on a spiritual level, the body of Christ coming together to not forget their sacrifices. Tertullian said it, early church Christian writer, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. So they are, through their huge sacrifice and many times of their entire life, they are spiritually edifying the church. And that's painful and mysterious, but it's also true. So we have a lot that we owe to them, and on the little that we can do really, really matters. For women who are listening that can't come to Long Beach, what can they do, Gia?
Join us in solidarity and praying. And as I said before, use your platform to advocate on behalf of the persecuted. And you can do that by sharing March for the Martyrs content, connect with us on social media, but also just in your prayer time, and maybe even in your parish and your church community, get a group together to start praying for the persecuted. Throughout all of my travels, anytime that I speak to somebody who's persecuted, the number one thing they will ask for is prayer. That is the number one thing, more than any other need. They'll say, please pray for us, continue to pray for us. So as you said, don't underestimate the power of prayer and how much our prayers are felt and needed by the persecuted church. So I would say, again, use your platform to advocate on behalf of the persecuted. In your private prayer time, remember the persecuted in your prayers, but also see if you feel called by the Lord to start a prayer group in your parish or community of faith.
Yeah, I totally agree. I really wish parishes would, and I'm just going to keep saying this until this starts to happen. And I think some do adopt a country, you know, adopt Somalia, adopt Kenya, adopt Egypt, totally. You know, just, and find creative ways to reach out to the Christians there. And I think you're right, Gia. I mean, just simply being at a party or in your networks, just saying Christians are the most persecuted people in the world is a shocking fact, but it's true. And just saying that and sharing that really helps a lot to get the word
Absolutely. Out. And I think a lot of times it can feel like knowing that this issue is so widespread and it's a growing crisis every single year. And we're seeing that in the past 2 years, Christian persecution has risen over 20%. It can feel like a helpless feeling. Well, what can I do? It's just me. And this issue is so broad and so huge. How can I really make a difference? But we know, like you said, on a spiritual level, that our prayers are absolutely needed. And scripture tells us that when one member of the body of Christ suffers, we all suffer. So in the West, we have an obligation to pray for our brothers and sisters, to advocate on their behalf, to see how we can use our influence, our platform, our voice in our networks, you know, no matter how small our networks are or how vast our networks are, to be their voice for the voiceless.
Exactly. I remember a Greek Orthodox priest saying, you know, the Westerners are very generous, can write checks and, you know, whatever it is that we try and do, because you're right. So often we feel very helpless, but he said, in fact, we pray for you because in the Middle East and other places, you know, we know who a Christian is because a Christian's willing to suffer for Jesus. But here in the West with a lot of our comforts and luxuries, you know, it's a little bit less clear who is for Christ and who is not. And so we pray also for your faith, because when things are easy, it's very hard. It's very easy to become spiritually lazy and to forget him. Whereas in these countries, you know, the line is drawn in the sand and you know who you're for and who you're against. So we have to also keep in mind that our spiritual lives here, because it's very easy to, I remember even being a kid and thinking to myself, gosh, there's such a lack of religiosity among Catholics. Youth and among Catholics, and here I am very grateful to be in a country and born in a country that's free to practice their faith, and then seeing my peers take it for granted and not really care about how sad it is that when you finally have the freedoms, then you don't use the freedoms well. And this is just totally. the way it is, right? But for those of us who are really trying to stay connected to our faith and really build a culture of life on every level, it's something to pay attention to. So
absolutely. And I think this just goes to show how, as much as the persecuted need our prayers, our voice, our platform, we need that inspiration and influence of faith and courage and willing to risk everything for the gospel. And, you know, I think that we can talk about this idea of martyrdom. So what is it really mean to be a martyr? Well, in the modern sense, the word martyr means to die for your faith, to die for what you know to be true. Mm-hmm. But in the original context, if we're looking at how it was used in the New Testament, the word martyr actually means to bear witness to the truth. So how can we bear witness to the truth in our everyday life? In, you know, when we're at work, when we are, you know, at the grocery store, when we're going to our women's groups and in our daily lives with our children, with our friends, how can we be that martyr in a sense where we're not willing to sacrifice? There's nothing that we won't sacrifice for our faith. And I think you hit it right on the nose. It's easier when you're putting your life on the line in the sense that you have to make that tough decision. I'm Christian. I'm willing to die for my faith. But what does that look like for us in the West? And how does dying to our faith in a spiritual, or dying to ourselves in a spiritual aspect look for us in our daily lives of our faith?
Yeah, I love it. And Gia, do you ever visit, I'm sure you do, Eastern Rite Catholic communities and churches? Because I think it would also mean a lot for Roman Catholics, Latin Rite Catholics to reach out to their neighboring Eastern Orthodox or Eastern Catholic communities and just let them know they're in solidarity with them. Do you have anything to say about that?
Yes, I would say I do visit, and I would encourage everybody listening to visit too. And again, it's this idea of unity. How can we bridge the gap? How can we unify the body of Christ? And again, bridge the gap and show that we're not separated. We don't have as many issues as we think that we have. And it is so important, knowing the global crisis of Christian persecution, that we can unify as a body of Christ in the West.
Yeah, I love that. I love more and more as persecution. I mean, 20% increase in the last 2 years is shocking. I didn't know that statistic. And I think we have to, you know, if there's ever a time to really extend a hand of unity and solidarity across denominational lines, now is the time.
So. You're absolutely right. And I think too, with what's been happening across the United States and even across Europe, with a spike of intimidation and acts of hate against Christian places of worship and Christian statues, Christian property, yeah. We're starting to feel for the first time what it would feel like if we were seriously persecuted. What does religious oppression feel like for a Christian in the United States? And we're getting a taste of what it feels like to not be able to go to church, to not be able to worship freely, and to face serious repercussions for going against state mandates or government mandates for these things. So that alone has is opportunity for us to unify and for us to come together. And we need to have a unified voice, not just for the Christians who are facing persecution, but here for our freedoms in the West. We need to unify around this issue.
I completely agree. And we have to be strong in the little things, because these little things become big things. And it's not like one day Christians in these countries that are being persecuted and having their rights violated just woke up one morning and everything was taken away. That's not how totalitarian regimes work. It's not how dictatorships work. It's not how persecutors and terrorists work. They work by slowly kind of chipping away and good men doing nothing to kind of allow these small things to be taken. All of a sudden you wake up one day and you can't practice your faith freely and you're in an underground church. So I think we in the Americans in the West, definitely, you know, we're seeing how it's happening in Europe. Already, Europe is in a crisis situation, but definitely here, I think we need to be very, very strong. And we have a lot of opportunities now with COVID and everything to really, you know, be careful about having our little freedoms taken away. So,
absolutely. And knowing that we come from a place of victory too, our victory is in Christ alone. He promised that in this world, we would have troubles, we would face persecution, and we would face suffering for our faith. But he also said, take heart, take courage, I've overcome the world. So our response is not from a place of timidity or fear, but actually from a place of victory, knowing that our victory is in Christ alone.
I love that. Thank you for that reminder. We have to be reminded that he's conquered, and we're playing the battle out. So
totally.
Thank you so much, Gia. Anything else that you would like to share with our listeners about information, how to get involved, anything on your mind and heart that is important for us to know? And we're very grateful for anything you're willing to share with us.
I would just remind everybody listening and encourage everybody listening to connect with us on Instagram and on Facebook if you want to know more about Christian persecution and the different ways you can get involved through your platform, through your voice, joining us at the March for the Martyrs, but also through your giving, how you can directly make a difference in the lives of the persecuted. So any information that you would like on that can be found at forthemartyrs.com and on Instagram at March for the Martyrs.
Yeah. And I will link everything to our YouTube channel and to our podcast show notes. So please, please, please. And just, you know, pick like 10 people that you can send the information out to. It makes a big difference. And Endow Women are very dedicated as faithful daughters to our priests and our bishops, and don't hesitate also to reach out to them and
yes,
let them know about this wonderful organization and what's happening, and to encourage your priests to keep up, because, you know, priests are very busy and have a lot of sheep, a lot of flock to take care of. So even if you just share a few statistics here and there, about a 20% increase in Christian persecution around the world in the last 2 years, you know, things like that. Don't assume that they know. A lot of them don't. So you can be that feminine genius, that voice that is their ambassador and clues them into what's going on. So thank you so much, Gia. I really appreciate it.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for having me. And I look forward to seeing anybody who will be joining us at the March for the Martyrs on September 5th.
Yes. And if you're an Endow Woman who found out about this from this podcast episode, and you're going to be there, please message me and let me know, and I'll try to meet up with you there. So thank you.
If this episode was helpful for you, I would love it if you'd share it with your friends. I would also love to hear your comments and feedback, so please email me at simone.riscala@endowgroups.org, or feel free to reach out to us on any of our social media platforms. Remember, you are the heart of Endow.